You're here to learn how your mind functions. And it's important that you understand that it's functioning all the time. When the Buddha lays out the principles in Dependent Core Rising, right next to ignorance is one that he calls fabrication. It's the activity in the mind, the intentional activity. And one of those activities is directed thought and evaluation. In plain terms, that's how you talk to yourself. And you're talking to yourself all the time. The problem is you're usually doing it in ignorance. Either you don't know that you're talking to yourself, or there are many layers of conversation going on inside. And the other is that you're telling yourself strange things, things that are actually going to lead to suffering. So the purpose of the meditation is, one, to get you more sensitive to how you're talking to yourself on these many levels, and two, to start talking to yourself in a skillful way. This is why when the Buddha has you get the mind settled down into concentration, one of the factors of the first stage is directed thought and evaluation. For example, you're talking to yourself about the breath. Focus on the breath and ask yourself, how does it feel? Where do you feel it? Then you focus your attention to where it's clearest. And then the next question is, how does it feel? Does it feel good? You can try experimenting. Tell yourself, try long breathing for a while, then try short breathing. Fast or slow, heavy or light. Deep, shallow. Broad, narrow. This is where you bring in another aspect of fabrication, which is perceptions, the images you hold in mind. What image of the breath is most conducive to settling down? If you think of the breath simply as the air coming in and out through the nose, it's hard to think of that having any impact on much of the rest of the body. But if you think of it as the energy flow that allows the lungs to expand and contract, that flow goes throughout the whole body. So hold that perception in mind and ask yourself how that helps. You can think of yourself as being like a big sponge. So when you breathe in, there's no obstacle to the breath coming in from any direction. Ask yourself how that works. You're engaged in what the Buddha calls commitment and reflection. You commit yourself to doing something and then you watch it. You pass judgment on it. This is a part of your directed thought and evaluation. You're talking to yourself, your fabrication of the present moment. Because we are shaping the present moment. We're not just passive observers. Make a comparison. It's the difference between watching a TV and getting engaged in an interactive computer game. If you just watch the TV, you can't change things in the program, no matter how much you yell at the screen. With an interactive game, how the game goes is going to depend on what you do. That's what you're doing right now. And as you get more familiar with what you're doing, getting the mind to fit with the breath, getting the breath to fit with the mind, getting a sense of the whole body being aware, the breath going through the whole body, sense of ease going through the whole body, everything coming together like this. You get more and more conscious of this process of talking to yourself and what role you're playing in all this. And you find that there are four roles altogether that you play. One is the you who desires to have a sense of well-being from this. You desire to benefit from this process. If you didn't think you were going to benefit from it, you wouldn't do it. But the stronger you can have that sense that this is really going to be good for you, and you're going to enjoy it. You find, like, it's one of those classics of literature. They look big and imposing and oppressive. But then you start reading them and you realize they're classes because they're fun to read. That's what the meditation should look like to you, that you're going to enjoy it, both in the process and in the long term. So that's you as the consumer. Then there's you as the agent who actually does the meditation, who asks questions, tries things out, makes adjustments, learns skills. You can do this better and better. And to learn a skill requires two more functions for you. One is that you really intend on observing what you're doing. You want to get down to the details. We're not dealing in abstractions here. We're dealing in very practical things. How to breathe, how to talk to yourself. Once there's a sense of well-being in the body, how do you let it spread? If there are pains in the body that are getting in the way, what do you do with them? These are practical issues, and there are skills associated with them, like with pain. First, you try to get a sense of which part of the body can be made comfortable by the way you breathe. Then you let that sense of comfortable breath flow through the areas where there are pain. See if that helps. Sometimes you find that there's a lot of tension around the pain. As you breathe through it, the tension begins to relax. And part of you may be afraid of that. The whole reason the tension built up around it was to keep the pain under control, keep it within bounds. It's like that science fiction story where this group of beings on a particular planet had suffered an invasion from another planet. And so they built up a defense system after they had repelled the invasion. They built up an impenetrable force field around their planet. And then they found themselves stuck because nothing could get in, nothing could get out. And so the force field became the problem. In the same way, that tension you build up around the pain, often that becomes the real problem. You have to be willing to allow it to dissolve and see what happens. That's one way of dealing with the pain. There are lots of ways of dealing with the pain. It's all part of your set of skills. And so you try things out, observe the results, and then you pass judgment on them. Did they work? Did they not work? If they did work, you remember them. If they didn't work, you try to figure out why. And then you try something else. Try something else. Observe it. Pass judgment on it. So you've got four roles here altogether. You as the consumer, you as the agent, you as the observer, and you as the judge. All four of those roles have to work together for this to work. If you try to hold on to just one, like if you're just making effort without judging it, you can just wear yourself out. Or if you're just the witness watching whatever comes and not passing judgment at all, nothing happens. It may feel good not to be doing anything, you're relaxed, but nothing develops. The Buddha compares that to a goldsmith who doesn't do anything with the gold, just lets it sit there. Well, you can't make anything out of gold if it just sits there. So we are working on a skill that requires that you play these four roles. They correspond to a traditional teaching, which is called the basis of success. The Buddha talks about this as different ways in which you can emphasize different parts of the process of settling down into concentration. And the way he describes it, it sounds as if there are four different types of concentration. Concentration based on desire, and towards the consumer. Based on persistence, the agent. Based on intent, the observer. Based on analysis, the judge. When he talks about the right effort that leads to concentration, though, you have to include all four of these. The right effort is to generate desire, exert persistence, uphold your intent. And you have to use your discernment to figure out what's skillful and what's not skillful, and how to encourage what's skillful and then discourage what's not. So it requires all four. The difference among the different types of concentration are mainly a matter of emphasis. The important thing, though, you remember that you're here to understand how things work. Sometimes the question comes up where you hear people say that you're here to see things as they are. And the implication is that you just get very passive and see things as they are on their own without your doing anything to them. But that just drives a lot of this process the mind is engaged in underground. You have to be very frank about the fact that you are constructing things. And you're basically here to learn how to do it in a better way, construct a path that leads you to something that is unconstructed. So make sure you don't confuse the path with a goal. When all four of these roles are working together, then that's a base for success. You're to see not things as they are, but things as they function. As I mentioned last night, this is why the Buddha, when he described his awakening in the simplest, shortest form, was a principle of causality. What causes what, and how the causation goes, whether it's immediate or over the long term. That's the sort of thing that can be found only by doing things and then judging the results. Commitment, reflection. The commitment gets divided into the desire and the persistence. The reflection gets divided into intent and analysis. But that's how the Dharma is nourished. So feed it well.